We got into chapter 2, and we noticed that at the beginning of chapter 2, dealing with Paul, and he takes Barnabas and Titus with him, and we have all these things going on the controversy on whether should the Gentiles be circumcised in order to be saved. That's what this whole thing's about. In order to be saved, should they be circumcised? Well, when you look at it from a historical point of view, looking at some of the writings of the church fathers and even later than that, coming into more modern times with the scholars and so forth, F.F. Bruce, he makes some mention of what was happening here concerning this Galatians. One of the things he talked about was how that there were proselytes and there were God-fearers. So he described them as two types of people. Now, both of those were Gentiles. They weren't, like some of them were Jews, but a proselyte would be considered one who would be recognized as Jewish because not only did they come into the faith, but they were circumcised. They were keeping the laws. And so they would be considered natural-born Israelites. I mean, it would be, the term is they would be considered Ezra. Ezra, they would be considered like they were just born Jews. They never were Gentiles. They would be a proselyte. Then you had God-fearers like Cornelius. Cornelius was a God-fearer. He was keeping the Torah. He was studying the scripture. That's all he had at the time. And he came into the faith, but he wasn't circumcised. So we have an issue. We have proselytes, Gentile proselytes, and we have God-fearers. And that's some of the things we're going to talk about as we go along here of what's happening. And let's talk about Cornelius first, because here's one. He feared God. He loved the Lord. And he was praying. And obviously God heard his prayer, because he was a God-fearer. Now, he wasn't circumcised, but that ought to tell us something. God heard his prayer. And he spoke to Peter for Peter to do what he had to do through the trance, so that he calls it, or the vision that he had, to go and minister to him. So that's where we left off. We want to take back up right there and look at that. So Acts chapter 10, looking at verse 28, notice what Peter tells Cornelius. Now he goes to Cornelius after he has the trance and also talks about what happened. He goes to Cornelius and he says unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew, this is Peter speaking, to keep company or come into one of another nation. Now think about that. That's Philip. I'm on 265. 265. Sorry about that. And so he's trying to notice what he says now. He says, and he said unto them, you know how that it is unlawful. This is against the customs of the Jews to come and meet with Gentiles. And this is not something that he came up with. How many remember David? David's going to go out and fight Goliath. What is he telling? He says, you uncircumcised Philistine. He called him uncircumcised, and it was not something that, this was not a good statement. It meant you're dirty. You're uncircumcised. He said, how can you, being uncircumcised, come against me, who I'm of the circumcision? I mean, so we don't notice that when we read that story, but that's what he said. He said, you're defiled. You're uncircumcised. What chance you got coming against the circumcision? So this was something that they were steeped deeply in. So Peter here, he says to Cornelius, he says, well, I just want you to know that it's unlawful thing for a man to, that is a Jew to keep company or come into one of another nation. But Elohim has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. See, his vision had nothing to do with food. I wasn't trying to describe food laws. He was showed him, used the food, but it was not a food. It wasn't saying that everything's good. We still have to take in consideration what the Torah describes to us. So some people want to say, well, that right there preaches that. Well, you can't, because if you start using it in that fashion, you're going to have to keep that same pattern and use it in other places, which would be very damaging to the doctrine of understanding who God is. And not to mention many other things. But he wasn't mentioning that there. He was talking about, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles, and I know it's an unlawful thing for you to do that, but I'm sending you anyway. And it's because I'm calling them clean. Now, notice God is set in the rule. He said in the law, in position, or not something new, but he's explaining what has been misunderstood. Once Christ comes, once Yeshua came, he's explaining what that is. Now, let me tell you that we have a real problem with coming in to being Torah observers. There's a real problem that's happening with many thousands of people that's coming in to observe Torah and do the things that we're doing, keeping Passover, Yom Kippur, and all the feasts. The problem is this. On this side of the pendulum, we have the Christians. Christians who have accepted Messiah, filled with Holy Spirit, and they're doing, you know, on all accounts, seem to be the right thing to do. And then on this side, the other swing, the pendulum swings, we have the Jews. And they're Orthodox, they're Jewish. And they have their rules and their oral laws. They're keeping Torah and they're keeping the feast days. And they're doing the things. Now over here, the Christians aren't keeping the feast days. We Christians are keeping pagan systems. Right? But over here, they're keeping the Torah. They're over here. But they didn't come into Holy move of Holy Spirit. And some of these over here has come to receive Christ, but recognize him as Messiah, and some hadn't. They're divided themselves. Not to mention, over here, the Christians are divided amongst themselves. So Christ already knew that that was going to be a problem. So what does he say he's going to do? He said, well, I'm going to tear down the middle wall. So you got to be careful when you start keeping Torah. You don't leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ without understanding them fully. He said, we leave those things once we understand them. So what is he trying to do? He says, I want to make one new man. So you got to be careful, because you can swing so far that you wind up in the same position you was in. You just call yourself different. Well, we're Torah observers now. But we can't swing too far. Be careful. Well, this is what was happening. They were having trouble. Well, there were proselytes with Gentiles that were swinging way, they were way over there. And let me tell you, once you were circumcised as a Gentile, you were no longer recognized as a Gentile, even though you were. But no longer, because you become Israel. You become that. You become a natural born citizen. But the God-fearer, he didn't get that status all the time, but sometimes he did. Now, Peter's coming and he's up front. He's saying, and he said unto them, you know how it is unlawful for a man that is a Jew to keep company or coming to one to another nation. So he's just putting that out there. Just a disclaimer. Because he never done that before. But he was starting to do it. Because that's why Paul is going to stand against him. They're going to have a conflict here. So he said, but Elohim mentioned that. Look at Acts 11. Acts 11, 1 through 3. He says this, and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of Elohim. What did they do? They heard that they received the word. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, notice this, what they did, they put him under pressure. When Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, thou winnest to men of uncircumcised, thou winnest into men uncircumcised and didst eat with them. Think about that. Now, those of the circumcision, soon as he comes to Jerusalem, they contend with Peter. We heard about it. See, we're starting to get a problem. This is a real issue that has to be settled. And this is one of the reasons they're dealing with this in Galatians. This is not something that they figured, well, we got some time. Let's talk about whether we should be circumcised or not. This was an issue. This was dividing people. People were divided over this. So his own people, after Peter comes back, after the Lord done told him, so what does he do? If you keep reading, we won't do it tonight, but if you keep reading, he talks about the men from Joppa. He talked about he was in a trance. He's trying to explain to them what happened. And you can read that rest of that account in chapter 11. But a reason I wanted to read that to you, I wanted you to see how this was a serious problem. They came to him and wanted to know, how is it that we hear that you're sitting down and eating with Gentiles? Now listen, we're not talking about just any Gentile. We're talking about God-fearers. Those who were in the faith, they were saved. They had the seal, the promise, Holy Spirit. After Peter had spoke, what happened in Cornelius' house? The word fell. After he spoke the word, the Holy Spirit come on them, and they began to speak in tongues. The Holy Spirit was there. The power of God was on their life. They had the seal. They were in the faith. We hear you sitting with them. What's the distinction? They're not circumcised. They're not proselytes. They have to be proselytes. Or we can't recognize them as natural-born citizens. Therefore, they're not in the faith. That's a real problem. Because Paul's preaching that they are in the faith. Peter's agreeing that they are in the faith. Remember the Jerusalem Council? They were all there together. So Paul's about to remind those who were there what they said. And so we go on, and we'll see this unfold. Now, let's look at, we'll continue, in Galatians 2, verse 11. Let's look at it. Galatians 2, verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, remember that? So we're familiar with that. When Peter was come to Antioch, now we start to get, we realize that, what's happening, or where they are. He said, I withstood him to the face. Because he was to be blamed. Wow. Now, let's think about this for a little bit. We have two of the most important and powerful people of the early apostles. And there's a fighting going on here. I withstood him to the face. Now, think about this. Really think about this. People knew who Peter was. The ones in Jerusalem, he was no slouch. They knew it. He was a fisherman. When he was asked to follow Christ, he left his fishing vessel and he followed him. He had his ups and downs, but I can tell you, he loved the Lord. He had a passion about following Christ. He did. Now think about it. Peter walked on water. He wasn't no slouch. If the man wanted to believe, he could get his faith up. He said, I don't know how many in here would want to get out of the boat of security and go and walk on the water. You got to have some faith to do that. But he did it. And he understands. So he understood how to reach out and get into the power. Here's a man that people would want to get in his shadow in order to be healed. Don't you understand? This he was a titan of the faith. He was no slouch at all, and so they had a lot of respect for him. He's the one that when Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" And when he asked him, he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church." Listen, so people recognized Peter as a very important person. So when he would say things or do things, people had a lot of respect about what he would do. And you see that happen today. People respect what you do. So if you decide to do something, if somebody has a lot of respect for you, they may decide to do that and didn't even check it. Don't even check it out. This is the kind of people they were. Now, Paul, he wasn't no slouch. Paul been through some stuff. They would try to get a piece of his clothes just to bring it to the people who were sick and they'd be healed. Not to mention, Paul raised the dead. These guys were real, and they were in it. They give their life for the gospel. But here they are, contending. That's a real problem. This was no... So here's what I find happened. When we don't look at it that way, we kind of say, well, it's more preference than anything. It's nothing about preference. There's no preference whether one wants to be circumcised and the other one don't. This has nothing to do with that. This is a serious matter. We didn't realize how serious it was because we don't realize the two people that was involved in it. They're titans of the faith. These guys had a lot of respect and a lot of people followed them and believed in what they said. So if we got to make sure we get it right, because if we don't get it right, a lot of people's going to follow us down this wrong path that we choose simply because you're popular. And they were. They had a lot of respect for Peter. They had a lot of respect for Paul. But you have to understand that Paul came on the scene later. He said, "I'm like an apostle born out of due time, out of a season that didn't, you know, I come late." He was a latecomer. So I think he kind of was careful with understanding that because he mentioned that. "I'm a latecomer. Nonetheless, I saw the Lord." So that's the qualifying factor. And not to mention, when we first started, Peter is the one that gave the endorsement for Paul's legitimacy. They recognized that the Holy Spirit was upon him. Peter's the one said, "This man's got wisdom. This man is wise." And they're up against each other. He said, "I withstood him to the face." This is a serious matter. And I don't think the church has seen that. We didn't see the value of it. And that's why it took so long for us to come to realize that Torah is important. We didn't stop right there. I told you when I started, this is one of the most important things I've ever preached about. This is a value to us. This is important. If we'd have seen that, we'd have recognized, man, this is serious business. So we have God-fearers on one hand who love the Lord. They come into the faith, yet they have not been circumcised. But you have those Gentiles who were called proselytes because they went all the way in. They became Jewish. And so now that's what we have. Now, he says, "I withstood him to the face because he was to blame." Now watch this. "For before that certain, before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles." Talking about certain people's coming. He's eating with Gentiles. Now, what kind of Gentiles is he eating? He's eating with God-fearers. What was Cornelius? God-fearer. That's why he went to his house. He was so much a God-fearer, loved the Lord, that when he prayed, God answered his prayer and brought Peter to him. "But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself." When who was come? The people from James. Why? Because when he went to Jerusalem, I just read it to you, what did they do? They put pressure on Peter. When he got to Jerusalem, they said, "Hey, what's this we hear? How is it you being a Jew, a born Jew, or eating with those God-fearers?" Can you see how slick the devil is? This is exactly what he wanted to do. But let's never forget, we'll get on it in just a little bit, that what Christ come to do is to tear that down. He wants to tear down the middle wall of separation. So what does he tear up? He tears up what the Jews believe, and he tears up with the Gentiles. He says, I'm going to make one new man. Isn't that powerful? So listen, be careful that we don't want to get caught in a pendulum effect where we swing, where we get so dissatisfied with being a Christian because we got lied to all our lives about this holiday and that holiday, that we swing so hard we wind up over here feeling like we got to do something in order to be saved. Are y'all getting this? That, Paul says, let me tell you what you got to do. You got to accept Christ, him being the sacrifice. That's what you got to do. Circumcision has nothing to do with it. Can you see he's trying to keep everybody just right in the middle? Very important. Why? Because that's exactly what Christ preached. We'll get on that. I'll read the scripture to you. But see, well, when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself. Watch this. Fearing them which were of the circumcision. Who did he fear? Them that were of the circumcision. They giving him trouble. They're on his case about it. Why are you doing it? There's no reason to be doing that. Are you on our side? Aren't you one of us? Can you see the pressure that could be on somebody? And that's what we see around the world. We see that type of stuff. It happens all the time, and it shouldn't be that way. And so I want you to look at this. Well, let me read it to you. Go to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians 2. All right. Ephesians chapter 2, we'll start with verse number 1. If we get through this, that'll be a good time for us tonight, kind of leading into what we're going to do in the morning. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. We've been quickened. He's talking about this. This is Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. He says in verse 2, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world. In times past you did. You walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So we were underneath that rulership, underneath that principality, that power. Sometimes we don't realize it, but you're underneath a power. There's a power that presides. It takes its position. It judges. It rules. It regulates. Just like God does. He judges, he rules, he regulates. When we get born again, we get out of that system. Notice what he says. Wherein in times past. How many see that? Times past. How many thank God that you're not in where you used to be? Times past. That's what you did. We don't do that no more. Sometimes we got to let go of what we used to do. It went in times past, because that ain't going to help us. And so that's what he's saying. Now, next verse, he says, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh. That's where our conversation was, in times past. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We were the children of wrath, even as others. Verse number 4. But Yahweh, I mean, see that. But Yahweh, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. We talked about that grace. Grace is given us. It's given us an opportunity. Again. Remember that. So, not me, it's all of us again. Adam's getting his again when the second Adam comes. Hey, listen, if you had a first Adam failed and the second Adam comes, that's the first Adam's grace to get another chance. How many thankful for that? That's amazing that God would do that for us. But Yahweh, that's one of my favorite starts to a verse. But Yahweh, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. What did he do? Even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Messiah. That word, listen, we got to look at that word, he quickened us together. Giving me another chance to obey is what I believe we need to focus on when we're dealing with grace. Giving me another chance to obey. Very important. He quickened us together with Messiah, in parentheses there, by grace ye are saved. That's why we're dealing with grace here. So, you know, think about it. We go back, and you go back and look at that verse 4 again. He said, but Yahweh, who is rich in mercy, rich in mercy. So what does he describe grace as? God's what? Mercy. It's God's mercy. Remember I told you God was merciful to Adam and Eve when he put them out of the garden. That's mercy. I'm having mercy on you because if I leave you where you are, you're going to forever be apart from me. But I'm going to give you got a chance. I'm putting you out. You get a second chance. I'm going to grace you. That's amazing to me. Absolutely amazing. So what did they have to do in the meantime? Well, we know the Bible says that Adam died. In the meantime, what did he do? Well, God showed him what to do. He had to go before the Lord at an appointed time. It was a time appointed to God. He went there, and if he kept those covenants and those plans that God set forth, he awaits his resurrection to spend eternity in the kingdom. It's a second chance. Now, we have it in real time. The real time is when God sent his only son. He gives his only son, and his son performs the duties of the lamb. He does what he's supposed to do, and then he performs the duties of the priest, and he makes the presentation for us. Absolutely incredible. How many of you know he's going to perform the last duty? He's going to be king. He's going to be king. So I want you to keep that in mind. Now, verse number 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Messiah Yeshua. Had done what? Had raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Messiah Yeshua, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Messiah Yeshua. When? In the ages to come. We in this age is going to end. Sooner than a lot of people think, this age ends. When this age ends, we start a new age, a new eon. That's what it's called. The eon changes. Verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of Yahweh. It's the gift of Yahweh. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship. Think about that. We are his workmanship, created in Messiah Yeshua unto good works, which Yahweh hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Think about that. He before ordained that we walk in them. How many know that he didn't have a failure plan for Adam and Eve, but he didn't wait to their failure in order to fix it. He already preordained that he would fix it. It was already done before their failure. Sending Messiah is not fixing what they failed to do. Sending Messiah was the original plan to begin with. But it's to show man, outside of obedience to God, we all fail. Listen, unless we obey, we're going to come short of the glory. Unless we obey. And how many come short of the glory? All of us. So he's letting us know that we're susceptible to failure. Now, why didn't Messiah fail? Why didn't he fail? Because he kept the law. He kept Torah. He kept the promises. That was it. He said, Lord, if you want me to do it, I'm going to do it. Was he tempted to do something else? Well, sure he was. Did Satan try to trick him? Sure he did. You know, we can go around and say, well, you know, I really didn't want to do it. I was tricked into doing it. Regardless if you was tricked or you wanted to God, the way he sees it, you did it. Christ couldn't get tricked even. He was so in tune with the Torah, he was so in tune with Scripture, he couldn't even be tricked because every time, it is written, it is written, it is written. I mean, you know, that would have helped us. Every time we would come against, if we had used the Scripture, could we know now when we use it, we have power. And we overcome us. That's what you have to use. The Scripture is what you have to use. Right? All right, the next one, verse 11. He says, wherefore, remember that ye being in times past, what? In times past. How many see that? We done said that several times. He said, ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision. What does he call it? Uncircumcision. Now listen, this is some of the best commentary you get when you're trying to understand Galatians. Read the rest of Paul's writings. We're going to read Romans tomorrow, and let me tell you, it's incredible stuff. You read what he wrote. Read everything he wrote. He has a certain structure and a certain writing style that's important for us to grab hold to. You can tell when Paul's the author of something because his style is unique. Now, he says, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision. When did we see that before? Remember David? Again. How can you come to defy the army of the living God, you uncircumcised Philistine? He didn't make that. He wasn't telling him a comment. He wasn't giving a good comment. That was in a negative term. Uncircumcision was in a negative term. Well, that's what Jews understood it to be. It was negative. Peter says, you know that it's not right for me to come and eat with y'all uncircumcised. He didn't say that. He said Gentiles. But he meant that. It's a negative thing. But I'm here because the Lord arrested me. So if God arrests you to tell you quit doing that, you know what I won't do? Quit doing that. That doesn't make sense to keep doing it if God said quit doing it. And so that's what we find here. Now, notice what he says. Who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Circumcision in the flesh made by hands. You got to keep that in mind. What circumcision? He's talking about circumcision made by hands in the flesh. That at that time you were without Messiah, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers of the covenants of promise, having no hope, without Elohim in the world. At what? That time. What time? In times past. But now, in Messiah Yeshua, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Messiah. How do we get close? By the blood of Messiah. For he is our peace. Notice what I highlighted here. Who has made both one. He's our peace. Now, do we need peace when you got the circumcision against the uncircumcision? Do we need a little peace? Paul says, I withstood him to his face. I believe we don't have to, I don't have to pull a Greek out on that. We know what that means. Right? Ain't no reason to try to define I withstood him to his face. I mean, they got into it. They arguing about this. I let him know, you can't do that. That's not right what you did. You eating with them and everything's good, and they're all in the family, but when the certain people come, you get up and left. That's not the right message we're sending. Are we preaching the truth or not? Because I want you to remember this. We're dealing with the truth of the gospel. What's the truth? What is the truth? Notice what Paul, we're dealing with the truth of the gospel. Now, I thought these guys are true. They keep in Torah. We're not keeping Torah over there. They keep in Torah. We got to get to the truth. Well, these guys over here, they believe in the blood of Messiah. They believe that Christ is Messiah. They believe in Holy Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit. They don't. We're right. We Christians are right. We eat biscuits, they eat bagels. We eat ham, they eat lamb. I mean, see the division. That's what's going on. We circumcised, they uncircumcised. And notice, in the negative, you uncircumcised Philistine. That's not a comment. But it says he, Yeshua, is our peace, who hath made both one. So he's taking something from here. I'm just wondering what he's taking from here. Anybody want to guess? And he's taking something from over here. Because if we don't get something from over here out of whatever else is in this, we're in trouble. So he takes out of here and out of there, and he makes one new person right here in the middle. Tears the middle wall down. And hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Between us. Who's he talking about? The circumcised and the uncircumcised. I want you to think about this. Look at the next verse. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. What? Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. For to make in him of twain, of the two, one new man. Wow. So making peace. Once you do that, you make peace. And that he might reconcile both unto Elohim in what? One body. He's reconciling how many? Both. Both in one body. By the stake, having slain the enmity thereby. So his death was to reconcile this. Think about it, his death. So why did Jesus, if you ask somebody, why did Jesus die? Who would have saved me? Well, that's a general way to put it, but that's not what he died for. He's telling us what he died for. He went on the stake, and he did that because he was saying, I got to reconcile, I got to bring this together so we can understand it. I take both, and I make one new man. And I think it's important for us to take some time to consider this. Verse 17, he says, he came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. What's the goal? To get to the Father. We have access to the Father by one Spirit. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners. So, what? You're no more strangers than foreigners? Well, let me tell you how the God-fearers were being treated. Not only did Peter get up, he claimed them as natural-born citizens in his heart. If he wouldn't have sat and ate with them. So in his heart, he believed that they were natural-born citizens. Even though they were uncircumcised, and he knew it. They had never come into circumcision of the flesh. But he knew there was circumcision of the Spirit, so he sat and ate with them. And he believed in them. They were believers in Yeshua Messiah, and he supported them by his mere presence because he was a titan of the faith. Him sitting there, he was telling everybody, these are right. And so he had no problem with that until he came to Jerusalem. And they said, well, how is it you sitting and eating with the uncircumcised? He put a lot of pressure on him. So when he gets up, Paul then says, that's why I withstood him to the face. He said, because we're not going to get anywhere. We've got to settle this issue. We've got to really settle it. You know what? And nobody really wants to settle anything. We talk about it. You know, folks will say, well, you know what we ought to do? We need to just all get together. We've been getting together for a long time. We're not ready. What you want to do? We're going to look at each other? We're not settling anything. Nobody. If you get together and you bring up a subject, it divides the house. Because we don't really want to sit down and put the Word of God right in the middle of the table and say, okay, let's go at it. Let's look at what it says. But let's get together. Get-togethers don't help anybody. What is a get-together going to do? We have to obey what Messiah says. Well, guess what's the problem? These over here believe they are. And then these over here believe they are. But Messiah comes and he presents himself in real time. Here he is. He's right here. And he finds out that I got to tear the middle wall of separation down and create one new person. He said, because both of them got it all squirreled. They got it all over the place. And so that's why we're saying That's why when you somebody you're trying to explain to them, you tell them, just go read it again. You begging people. You pleading with them. Just go read it again. If you don't want to listen to what I'm saying, just go see. I'm telling you, look at what it's saying. Does it make sense to you tonight? Does it make sense that what we're saying, how they're having this issue? Well, sure it does. You look at it and you go, wow, how can't we see this? It would take us a long time. Because we didn't realize the severity of how important this issue was, circumcised and the uncircumcision. For through him both have access by one spirit. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. Notice that. Fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of Elohim. Fellow citizens, you're not strangers no more. He said, what I'm going to do, nobody, you're not going to be strangers. Very important here. Verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Yeshua Messiah himself being the chief cornerstone. Let me tell you, Peter knew what the truth was. That's why Paul was stood him to the face, because he knew the truth. Because we're dealing with what? The truth of the gospel. What's the truth? Well, over here, they believe in for thousands of years the truth. They believe in that. But what crept in? What crept in here? Oral traditions, writing more. Wasn't enough. Write some more. And now you got to keep all these old traditions, like the washing of your hands before you eat. And Messiah said, you come up with that. My father didn't give you that. You came up with that. But that was it. Then they rejected what he said, knew it, because they wanted people to keep the oral traditions. Those ordinances, those written ordinances, they wanted that to be kept. Over here, because Holy Spirit comes, we got it. We the Pentecostals. We the full gospels. We the ones speaking tongues. We got it. And if they can only get saved. And then the division happens within the same circle. Even those who come to the faith, accept Christ as Messiah, the division just keeps going and it just blooms into so many different groups. Because everybody feels like they got the edge. You know, when Messiah comes and says, hey, listen, I'm going to tear all that down. It's one new man. And we're going to trust Messiah and let him do it. And we're going to understand. How many of you know there's good in both things? But there's a lot of bad in both of them. So you could come, because some Jews, Orthodox Jews, are coming in the faith and they're swinging on the pendulum and becoming, quote, Christian. But ask them if they're giving up their feast days. They ain't going to do it for you or nobody else. So the Christian says, look, you got to leave that alone. Because none of them keeping it over here. You think they're going to leave from over there? Because they're non-Messianic, but come to know Messiah and go keep Christmas? Or eat? They're not going to do it. You see the problem? And over here, you're going to come in the Torah. Well, if you come in the Torah, you're going to start reading about feast days. You're going to drag in the other stuff with you and say, I don't seem to be so bad to me. Well, the ones over here, they're going to say, oh, you doing what? More contention. He says, I'm going to do away with that. I'm going to make one new person. Does he do away with Torah? No. Does he do away with the Holy Spirit? No. He brings everybody back to the table and says, we're missing this thing. You're built upon foundations of apostles and prophets, Yeshua Messiah himself being the chief cornerstone. That's where you start. If you start with Yeshua being the chief cornerstone, you're going to get some things right. Remember, we studied the words of Jesus. If you just look at his words, you're going to come to learn a lot of things. Very important. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Master. In whom ye also are built together for a habitation of Elohim through the Spirit. A what? A habitation of Elohim. We're built. He's building us so we can build. No, you're not, that ye are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the temple of God. Think about that. Very, very, very important stuff. So I hope that you and I are seeing this, that we're coming to realize these important principles and issues have to be talked about and dealt with, and we have to see them for what they are. In verse 13, it says, and the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissembling. Think about that. Barnabas, the fighter with Paul, the one who stood with Paul, toe-to-toe with all those that were. Barnabas, because of Peter's decision, this is how important it is your decision needs to be thought about. Because of Peter's decision to get up from the table of the uncircumcised, save Gentiles, the God-fearers, Barnabas followed him. And Barnabas was the one that went down with Paul to begin with in the book of Acts and stood up for the faith and stood against those who were telling them they weren't saved. You see the difference? How it can affect you? Very, very important. And other Jews, this is some, likewise with him, they changed. They said, we've seen Peter. So, in so much that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. And it's very, very, very important to see that. That here we have Barnabas, one of the, side by side with Paul, the apostle, and stood for what was right. Now, he's standing with Peter because of what? Reputation? Showing face? What about the truth of the gospel? This is why Paul's upset. What about the truth of the gospel? Don't try to show face, because that's what they were doing. They'd be like us. What are we going to do? Are we going to try to just show face, not mention too much about it? Don't say too much about it. Because we know everybody don't believe it, so I ain't going to talk about it. Listen, if you know it to be the truth, don't be ashamed to talk about it if it's the truth. What's the truth? That's the question. What's the truth? What's the truth is the two become one. If you're going to just go here, swing this away, you're going to get in a lot of trouble. We know what that trouble is about. We've been there. And if the pendulum swings the other way and you go all the way over here, you're going to get in a lot of trouble. And if Messiah saw that, he saw that. Our Messiah, Christ, saw that and he said, that's not good. He knew it was going to happen. So he said, I'm going to take the middle wall down and I'm going to take some from both. I'm going to make one new man. Does that make sense to everybody? That's what we have to focus on. So yes, are we going to still keep the faith and believe that he's Messiah? Absolutely. Are we going to keep Torah? That came from this side. Yes, we're going to keep Torah. Are we going to get rid of some other things that he don't want us to be attached to? Yes, we're going to do that. Are we going to just give up on Holy Spirit? Well, no, he said not to do that. He said, because this is how my Father, look, back up. Back up, because you got to see it. In whom the building fitly framed together grow into a holy temple in the Master, in whom also you are built together for an habitation of Elohim through the Spirit. You're built together for what? Holy Spirit to reside. Very important. When you read this stuff, you go the whole time, wow. This all comes together. And it's very important that we understand that. Now, we're going to start in the morning on verse 14. 14 is where we'll start. So I know at first you said, man, we hit Galatians 1, we went right through it. I mean, it was like we didn't slow down, we didn't stop, we just went right through it. We hit 2 Galatians 2, we hit Galatians 2, and we're going pretty fast up to verse 10. And then we slow down a lot when you hit verse 11 and 12 and 13. It takes up a whole, three verses take up our whole time in our lesson. So I want you to understand how important this is. But in the morning, we're going to hit 14, verse 14 and 15. Hopefully we can get on 15. But it's going to be incredible. We're going to talk about it. And you're going to start to see how all this stuff comes together and how we can draw so much strength from it. So this part right here has tremendously helped me with understanding what's happening, because you question yourself. You question yourself, well, what am I doing? Well, I can't even begin to see myself without Torah. Yet I saw myself without it for so many years. How is that possible? How is that possible? The pendulum swings. That's how it's possible. It swings. And you got to either or. mentality. And Christ saw that. He saw that. That's dangerous. He said, I'm going to tear down the middle wall of separation. I'm going to make one new man.